Why did you shave? Why did you shave your beard?
Because it looked like crap. I looked like I was homeless.
And you wanted to stay married.
And Well, no, she didn't mind the beard, but she is 100% anti-mustache.
Oh.
So you guys are having a lot of fun the last week or so based on that Facebook post. I thought you looked pretty good there, TC, with the stash.
The problem is, no, with the beard, you get these huge patches of gray. And when you're on camera, when you're on TV, it looks like it's just missing pieces. You know, it looks like the mange. Looks like you had mice gnawing at your face. It just doesn't look good.
Wow.
But then you got to color it, and I don't want to go there. And so there you go.
We were going to get you, you know, men's gray for whatever.
Just for men.
Just for men, you know.
Yeah, I could have cut a deal with them because it's 50-50. And I know my wife hates mustaches. So I think it's a rule. If you have a beard, mine got pretty good. So I was shaving it off because this morning we had to tape a couple of things at Nesson that are going to air.
Uh-oh.
And so I knew I was going to get rid of the beard, so I kept the stash. I think you've got to have at least a one-day mustache on the way out of the beard.
Wow.
And I kept some sideburns and the whole thing going. And she was working, so when she got home, I mean, it was hysterical. And I had her convinced I was going to keep it. And then, the couch is bumpy. It's hard to sleep on, so I shaved a mustache.
TC, I thought you shaved because the winter weekend is coming up this weekend for the Red Sox. I thought maybe Nesson had instituted a Yankee-style facial hair policy.
No, Nesson, they actually didn't care. A lot of people, Nesson's making you shave. They didn't care. I knew I wasn't going to keep it for spring training, and like I said, we taped some stuff this morning that's going to air into the into the season, and I've done that before. And I was thinking it's stupid, I'm at 5 o'clock, something's on tape with a beard, then at 6 o'clock I'm doing the pregame show with no beard, and so.
TC, people complain about NFL training camps being, I don't know if they're too long or too short, but the preseason they say is too long. How do you feel about spring training as a whole? It starts now and. Most teams are like a month from Friday or something like that. Does spring training last too long for your liking? Or when you see what goes on down there, is it the right amount of time?
Well, it's the right amount of time for pitchers. It's way too long for everybody else. And that's hitters, that's you, that's me, that's the concession salespeople. But pitchers need it. I mean, there's no getting around it. And it's going to be really interesting this year because Alex Cora already told me, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you in front, Tell our fans, I apologize for the pitchers they're going to be seeing in our spring training game. Because these guys pitched a lot last year, and they pitched deep into the season last year. He's going to take it really easy with these guys during spring training. And you're going to see guys throwing less than ever before, and you're going to see, Sale and Price and Porcello and those type of guys throwing a lot of backfield. Well, that's what you're going to see because Porcello's going to be over on field three throwing against the Salem Red Sox. So those are fun games to do with play-by-play. I mean, I told you guys a million stories over the years, but I'll never forget that it was about 5-6 years ago, and it was the last game of spring training. And I was a sideline reporter, so I'm just beyond the Red Sox dugout. We were playing over at the Minnesota complex across town, and everyone's waiting to get the hell out of there. Yeah. I mean, they're literally flying home after the game. And there's some kid runs out in the eighth inning out in right field. He's wearing like 97. And my phone rings, and it's Kevin Gregg, who's the head of PR up in the press box. And he's like, hey, TC, can you find out who number 97 is out in right field for us? The Red Sox didn't know who was in right field. And the great thing is, Chili Davis was the hitting coach at the time. I lean over at Chili, who's that on right field? He looks out there and goes, I have no idea.
Maybe Brady could play.
It was like 3 minutes before anybody could figure out who the hell he was. He was some guy, like, as the bus was pulling out, they said, hey, kid, jump in the bus. Let's go.
Hey, TC, any chance those pitchers take into the regular season to get ready? Since I'm a hopeless Mariners fan, I'm hoping that opening day game is maybe somebody with, like, number 67 for the whole game.
Yeah, and I'd still take number 67 the way the Seattle Mariners are ripping that roster apart. I don't. I think you'd go with number 167 for the first series and save everybody. I don't think they're gonna not pitch guys, but I think you're gonna see a lot of bullpen, a lot of short starts at the beginning of the season. He's got to do it. It was a very long season, and they want to pitch into November again this year. And so, you know, we all know how Alex does this. He believes in rest. He believes slow and steady, keeps you healthy and wins the race. And I think you're going to see a lot of that at the beginning of the year.
DC, when I lived in Phoenix, I mean, people would come in from all over just to see the spring training. Do the people from Boston, do they make the trek still? Is this still a must-see destination to see, a little preseason baseball?
Listen, I hope they're a sponsor because I don't like to mention, the companies that might not be a sponsor. But when I always say it this way. When I started going to Fort Myers some two decades ago, there was one Dunkin' Donuts. There's about a dozen of them now in Fort Myers. So that you want to find out how many New Englanders are somewhere, how many Bostonians there are somewhere, count the number of Dunkin' Donuts in town. So, there's a lot of Boston people in Fort Myers.
Oh, there's a lot of heavy accents down there in JetBlue, no question about it. So, talk about Sox Winter Weekend coming up this weekend, though. What are some things that go on at that?
Well, it's become a fun event, and I think this is 4 years they've been doing it now, and what they do is on Friday nights, all Foxwoods, it's sold out. I mean, it's become really popular with fans. Friday night, and they do a town hall, which is pretty neat. All the players come out on stage. I'm actually the MC of it. So I'll be MCing the kind of Q&A portion of it, which is John Henry, Tom Warner, Dave Dombrowski, Sam Kennedy, and Alex Cora are all part of that with me. The place is usually packed, and we get a lot of great questions from fans and just talk about the upcoming season. It's a lot easier after they win a World Series. Yeah. These things are a lot more enjoyable. And then there's a bunch of players. They've got a pretty good roster of players. I actually haven't looked today to see what the final roster looks like, but there's a bunch of panels during the day Saturday where there's game show type things where the players have some fun and you can get autographs. A lot of former players come back. A lot of the great Red Sox players. I know Ortiz is coming again, and Pedro's going to be there. And, Eckersley and Rice and Veritek and Wakefield and all kinds of them. So it's just a pretty cool kind of hot stove weekend where a lot of fans gather, a lot of players are there. And, at that point, the players are just a couple of weeks away from hitting Fort Myers. So I think they like getting together and playing a little blackjack before they head south.
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson with us here on the Huddle 101.3 The Game, as he is every single Tuesday at this time. How much of the stuff that you guys use at Nesson all throughout the year is actually filmed at spring training? Because I was watching the Nesson clubhouse last year, and there's Jackie Bradley teaching kids how to play balls off the monster. And I know that wasn't in Boston. That had to have been filmed in February.
Yeah, it is. A lot of that stuff, especially, the small talk things they do for clubhouse where the kids ask questions. Most of that is taped at spring training. They'll do some more during the season. But the instructionals, like you just talked about, a shot there. We try to get some sort of long-form interviews with a lot of the guys that we can use early in the season, especially when you talk about rain delays and stuff. It's great to have programming like that done. So we do, in February especially, before the spring training games start, we got about 10 days where we can really get these guys to do some stuff up close and personal, and we try to hit that pretty hard. So a lot of it, we do get a lot of content out of the beginning of spring training.
We think about the season ahead, and we've been focusing a lot on what the Yankees are doing. Will they get Machado? Will they not get Machado? They've got LeMahieu now. They've got Paxton. Have we neglected the Rays? Are the Rays a threat to the Red Sox now in the AL East? Maybe not to win the division, but at least to wreak some havoc.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I think they are. I think they're a good team. Quietly won 90 games last season, and they make the argument they're as good, if not better, this coming year on paper than they were last year. The opener is not a novelty anymore. It's something Kevin Cash is going to do. He'll be the first guy to tell you. I spoke with him at the winter meetings last month that, he'd love to have five stud starters and not have to go with the opener, but he doesn't. So it's a great way for a team like Tampa to try to maximize and leverage some of the arms they've got in the bullpen. They've got a lot of hard-throwing guys who can come out of the bullpen and make life tough for you. So, I think they can make life tough for some teams. And I think, like last year, they kind of made a push at the end. It was too late to really get in the wild card conversation. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rays are hanging around the wild card conversation this year. And if they are, that means they're going to have to win some games against the Red Sox and Yankees. And I think they can.
TC, I was looking at the draft picks for the Red Sox, their first-round draft picks for all the years. Ben Attendee went in 2015. I think Jackie Bradley Jr. in 2011. Nobody else really on the squad. What would you tell Kyler Murray, the quarterback out of Oklahoma? I mean, is this guy going to make the major leagues? I mean, can you put in 5 years? Not even Ben Attendee took, 2 years? And that's unbelievable. So, I mean, what would you tell this kid, football or baseball?
Well, that's the hard part. That's the problem baseball has, right? I mean, you know, and I know baseball executives got together with Oakland to try to make the presentation, because that would have been a sexy splash for baseball to land a guy like that. But you, no matter what, you're telling a guy, you know, to choose between a worst-case scenario of being a backup quarterback in the NFL or, you know, riding the bus to Sacramento. and you're going to do that for a couple of years at best, as you said. And, you know, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
You really, you know, he can change his mind in a couple of years and might still have a chance to play baseball. You can't go back to the NFL, can you, after playing a couple of years of baseball? So, listen, the guy, I don't know if the guy's tall enough to succeed as an NFL quarterback. I don't know if he's, you know, I mean, he got rocked pretty good there facing some pretty good defense at the end. I think he's going to have a tough time in the NFL, and you can play a hell of a lot longer. You can have a 10, 20-year career in baseball. You're not going to get that in football. But where is he going to be next year? I don't think there's any question you're better off being on an NFL team.
Yeah, but I mean, Batavia is beautiful in July. And, I mean, just
and you know what? I mean, you know, some of those ballparks in single A out west, so the ball carries, you know, so you can pad your stats. There's no question about it.
And look at some of these first round picks I've seen for the Red Sox. Some of these guys I wouldn't know if they were serving me breadsticks at the Olive Garden, for crying out loud.
And some of them might be, you know, before too long. So, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's hard because, you know, the Red Sox, we know, you trade four guys for Sale, you trade four guys for Kimbrel, you made a lot of trades along the way, you know. But so that's where their talent is. They think they're getting deep again, like at the real low minors. Those guys are a few years away at best. But let's not forget, you know, Betts and Bogart's 26 years old, Benintendi 22 years old, Devers 21 years old. You know, you've got some young guys playing impact. I said it a million times to you guys last year. Devers was younger than every player in Pawtucket and every player in Portland last year. And he was your everyday third baseman.
Wow.
So they might not have a lot of guys you recognize in AA and AAA, but they've got a lot of young talent playing on a world championship team in Boston.
Tom, is the bullpen really the only thing that you see the Red Sox having to shore up here as the season approaches, or preseason anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, if Pedroia can't go, I'm not sure you got quite enough to fill the everyday void at second base. Maybe that's where Holt becomes more of an everyday player, and he certainly can be. But other than that, yeah, to me, it's just the bullpen and you know, one, maybe two arms. They've gathered up a lot of, you know, projects for their AAA team. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, they just signed Schlereth, who was with Dombrowski in Detroit a few years back, and they've got Carson Smith coming back. You know, guys like that, who if they hit their upside, they could be pretty good major league pitchers, but there's a lot of risk there. And I think right now that's their plan, but I'd still really like to see them land one more bona fide major league reliever before it's over.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. You know, we spent a lot of time earlier in the show on the Celtics kind of infighting. Kyrie's talking publicly about how the team can't win, you know, isn't experienced enough to win. Jaylen Brown kind of fights back yesterday by saying you can't point the finger at each other publicly. We don't hear a lot of that in baseball. Why?
Well, you do sometimes, you know. You did, you know, whenever Billy Martin was a manager.
Yeah, that's back in the 70s.
The Oakland days. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. But, I mean, it's a great point. Do you hear it at all in baseball now? I guess maybe you don't as much. But that's a relatively new development. You know, it wasn't that long ago where you know, the Roger Clemens and Mike Greenwells and Dante Bichettes would certainly air out their grievances. You know, Mike Lansing would you know, flip off the manager's office every time he wasn't in the lineup when he came into the dugout. So, I mean, that's, you know, you're talking about 10, 12, 14 years ago. But to your point, with the Red Sox specifically, I can tell you, you don't see it because they're really a bunch of good guys. I mean, we were joking about this at one point last year before they won it all. You're like, boy, I hope they're not too nice to win championships, because Mookie Betts he was raised really well by his parents, and so was Jackie Bradley Jr., and so was Andrew Benintendi. You know, all these guys are just really nice, polite young men who've been raised well, and they're respectful, and, you know, that's why Brock Holt can hit for the cycle in game three of the ALDS and not be in the lineup the next day and not flip out and pull a nutty, you know, because they did buy into the bigger picture. And winning helps you do that, obviously. But listen, it still happens from time to time. The Washington Nationals went through it the last couple of years with some things around Harper. Kansas City last year had it in the middle of the season. You'll still see it develop when a team's chemistry goes bad and it becomes toxic. It'll happen. I just think it happens more in basketball than other sports because there's only 12, 15 guys who matter on a roster, and they're all huge personalities. You know, each guy is a superstar. That's how you get to the NBA, and they have their own entourages. And you know, when Kyrie Irving says something, everybody listens, and the other 11 guys are going to respond. And so I think it's just such a small locker room and such a small universe that every voice kind of echoes more than it does in other sports.
Breaking news on the minor league front for the Red Sox. They've just extended their affiliate agreement with Portland, their Double-A team, through 2022. So that's good news for fans up here. But isn't the Paw Sox are leaving Rhode Island? Isn't that – that's pretty big news.
Well, let's go back, first of all. I think it's because the Sea Dogs had a Tom Terran bobblehead night
yes.
last year, so that solidified.
which know, we don't even have that, one.
Oh, is that right? We got to remedy that.
Yes.
As it turns out, there's lots of cases available, so I, you know, it won't be a problem. I've got a garage full of them.
It rained that night, right?
Yes.
But yeah, but the Paw Sox moving to Worcester is a big deal. Yes. You know, they tried to save the team. Larry Lucchino and the ownership group down there tried to keep them in Rhode Island, but they just couldn't come to an agreement with the government. And meantime, the people of Worcester and the city of Worcester, which is, you know, people forget, it's the second biggest city in New England, bigger than Hartford, bigger than Providence, and they really put a full court press. They received, over the course of, I think it's 4 years, over 10,000 postcards from people in Worcester saying, move here, move here, we want you here. And when you feel that kind of love, and they immediately put together a really attractive package for this ownership to come up and develop a ballpark. 2 years away, it's going to be a tough 2 years in Pawtucket because they're going to be lame ducks down there for two seasons. But I think it's going to be a great take. You're only, you know, for the people in Central Mass, people in Rhode Island who miss the Paw Sox, it's an hour drive up north. It's going to be a little easier for people southern Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine to come down and see a Triple-A game. I think it's going to be a home run once it starts.
Yeah, and that stadium looks unbelievable. I can't wait to see it. Just like Hartford, it was so beautiful once they got it going, and it's been a big success. Bruins taking over right now with down in Boston as far as the number three situation because the Celtics are starting to really get people angry. Is that what the vibe you're getting down there?
You know, I was sort of looking last night. It wasn't our game. It wasn't on Ness, and
right.
So there's no, you know, no vested interest here. But it was on NBC Sports Network nationally, and in Boston, you know, it outrated the Celtics game 3-1, and they were head to head.
Wow.
You know, and that's significant because this was supposed to be the Celtics' year, and you know the Bruins lost that game in overtime, but it was a great, you know, good point to get with a goal at the end. They're playing real well right now. I really still want to see them get some second line scoring help before this is all said and done. But I keep repeating myself. It's just the eighth game this season that they had Chara and McAvoy and Bergeron healthy in the same game. So I want to see this team play, you know, a month like that and see what they can do.
He's Tom Karen, TC of Ness, and always appreciate it, my friend. You're not going to be with us next week, so we're giving you the week off. You'll be with us in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the Caribbean, so I don't know what the roaming charges are going to be down there, but I'm not trying it. So
is that how you prepare for the 6 weeks of sunshine in spring training?
You got to play a base. Yeah. You got to play a base down there before you go to Florida. You got it.
Are you watching the AFC Championship game in the Caribbean, or are you not going till Monday?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm going to be sitting outside with an umbrella in my drink watching that game. We've already called ahead and lined up where we're going to watch the game. They've got the big screen ready for us to watch it. These things, and no doubt about it. And then, listen, I'm going to be sitting on the beach going over my bean pot lines getting ready for that. Okay, so it's not, you know, it's a working vacation, all right?
I love it.
Sort of.
All right, DC, have a good time. We'll speak to you later on.
Thanks, guys. See ya.